about the gospel in one night. It's Christmas season now. It's the third Advent Sunday. Next week is in, we're celebrating Christmas Eve together. And so we want to take a closer look at the Christmas story again, and we'll spend some time today in the Gospel of Luke. Bit of background. Luke, in his gospel, he focuses on the human side of Jesus. That's his main aspect, and that's how he is different from the other gospels. And that's why he spends more time, for example, looking at Jesus' childhood and those kind of experiences, because those are the human experiences of Jesus. And that's also why he has very detailed, or the most detailed account of Jesus' childhood, including his birth, including the Christmas story. And today, we'll focus on the shepherds. We'll focus on what God did in the shepherds' lives and how that applies to us. Just a reminder of the context. You probably know Mary and Joseph were forced to travel back to Bethlehem. Joseph was originally from Bethlehem. There was the census from the Romans. Everybody had to travel back to their hometown, so he didn't have a choice. Him and his wife, they had to travel as well. Mary was already highly pregnant, which obviously made it very difficult. They didn't have comfortable cars and buses like we do today. They had to walk, they had to ride on donkeys and these kind of things. And yeah, being pregnant right now, you can imagine how difficult it must have been for them to undertake such a journey in the midst of her being pregnant. And then the very thing that they maybe dreaded the most happened. While on the journey, Mary went into labor. And you know, didn't have a place to stay, so she had to be in a stable, gave birth to Jesus there. So that leads us to today's text. Luke 2, verses 6 to 20. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see the things which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. All right, so that's the story. Let's look at this story from the point of view of the shepherds. What do shepherds do at night? Shepherds watch sheep. They had to be ready to protect them in case other animals came, were attacking them, taking them away. We know that of David's story, for example, when he's talked about the lion and the bear that he defeated. So that was the shepherd's job, protect the sheep. Other than that, nothing to do. What do you think was it like to be a shepherd in those days? What do you think it was like for them to do this kind of night watch? You have to stay awake the whole night. And most of the time, it was just terribly boring. They had to stay outside, obviously. Sometimes there was bad weather. Sometimes it was pretty cold. Sometimes there was rain. And it was just a very difficult task. And obviously, also often it felt like a meaningless task. Because most of the night they stayed up the whole night doing nothing because nothing happened. So they were getting ready for yet another boring and maybe uncomfortable night. They were getting ready to just spend another night doing, maybe it felt to them like meaningless work. And in the midst of getting ready for this kind of boring night, God's glory appeared to them. Verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were much afraid. Imagine you are getting ready for just another normal day. Maybe you're getting ready to get to work. Maybe you're getting ready to go to university or to school. Maybe you're getting ready to take care of the children for yet another day or do the household work for another day, something like that. And then out of the blue, heaven opens, angels appear, and they sing about the glory of God. The shepherds didn't ask for this. They didn't just come back from a revival conference or something like that and were full on fire and were like, yay, we want to meet God personally. They didn't pray for the angels to appear. They were not on a 40 days fast to encounter God or something like that. They simply did their everyday life. They did their everyday responsibility. They did the things that, according to this world, their worldly responsibility, their worldly duty. And then out of the blue, the angels appeared. Understandably, they were afraid. I would be too. If I just get up or get ready to go to bed or whatever, and then suddenly God's glory appears to me personally, I would be shocked, I would be afraid, I would be scared as well. So God chose to completely disrupt their lives. God chose to completely disrupt their routine, and as they were getting ready to do their daily mundane work, God just said, this night is going to be different. This situation is going to be different, and your life is going to be disrupted in ways that you can't even expect or imagine right now. And then what did the angels have to say? The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The term good tidings that is used in this translation is a little bit difficult to translate. That's why, depending on the version, maybe your version expresses it a little bit differently. The original word, the meaning is basically to announce good news. Specifically also to evangelize and share the gospel. But it's more than that. It's to declare, to bring gladness, to preach the gospel. It's basically a word of bringing good news, bringing the best news possible to other people. So it was good tidings. It was a message of great joy. This news that these shepherds were about to hear would bring great joy to them. It would bring something to them that this world cannot give. We can all find happiness, temporary happiness, in the things of this world. We are happy if we have a bit more money. We are happy if we get a nice Christmas gift, all those kind of things. But that is worldly happiness. But what this news would bring is something much better than that. This news would bring great joy, something that this world cannot give, and something also that this world cannot take away. It would bring great joy. It would meet people at the point of their deepest need. It would just not just be a superficial cover-up, something that makes us happy and feel like, okay, I'm okay for a few days or a few weeks. It would truly meet people at the point of their need. And the angel also said it would be to all people. The angels declared it to the shepherds, but it wasn't limited to them. It wasn't limited to just the people in Bethlehem. It wasn't limited to the people of Israel. It wasn't limited to the people who lived back then. It wasn't just for a season. It would be the great news that would bring great joy to all people. And that includes you as well. It includes me. It's for all people. Now think about how must the shepherds have felt at this point before they hear the rest of the story. You're just getting ready to take care of the sheep and to just force yourself to stay awake for the next 12 hours or so and to not fall asleep. Angels come and they say, hey, there's awesome news. Something great has happened and we're going to declare it to you. We're going to say it to you about this great thing that has just happened. Angels appear in heaven. They talk about it. They sing about it. How would you respond? How would you feel at that moment? I would probably think like, oh, wow, something huge must have happened. Something great must have happened. Nowadays, I might think like, maybe Jesus is coming back. Or maybe I would think like, God has just done a great miracle and the whole world will see. It would be on TV tomorrow and everybody in the whole world would see about this great miracle that has just happened. That's what I would think at this point, that something huge, something for the whole world to see, something, a miracle that just can't be explained must have happened right now. And then comes the news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. At first sight, I might think like, that's it? All these angels, all this great stuff that you are singing about, and the only thing that has happened is a baby is born? Huh? What's up? What's so great about it? Babies are being born every day. There must have been many other babies that were born on the same day, or at least in the same week. So, angels, why is this so great? Why is this so awesome? What's so special about that? Well, the angels made it clear this is not just any baby. This child is a savior. Is the savior. This child is Christ the Lord. Now, the nation of Israel back then was very different from Germany today, or from your country today. We might think like, okay, so a baby is born, but if you tell them about God and if you tell them about the Messiah and all these things, nobody would understand. Well, that might be true for our nation today, but the nation of Israel back then, everybody understood what this meant. Everybody understood what the Old Testament said. Everybody understood that the Messiah would come. Now, some people didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and some people still nowadays, they believe in the Old Testament, they believe in Judaism, and they believe the Messiah will still come one day because they rejected Jesus. But one thing everybody in Israel back then understood. They believed in God, they believed in the Old Testament, and they believed that one day the Messiah would come. And so when these shepherds heard about the Messiah is born, they were able to connect the dots. They were able to say, aha, this is what the Old Testament was talking about. And these angels that we are seeing right now, they are singing about the very thing that we have been waiting for so long. Finally, the Messiah is here. The nation has been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. They were full of expectations. They were full of anticipation. Some of them even gave up. Some of them thought, we have been waiting for so long. I don't know. I don't believe that the Messiah will ever come. So there were a lot of emotions involved as well. But these people, everybody who who heard this news, these shepherds, they understood what the claim was. Finally, the Messiah that we have been waiting for so long, finally he is here. Finally he has arrived. Finally all the prophecies from the Old Testament are fulfilled. They knew that, they understood that, and they could connect the dots. They understood why this news was so special. They understood this is not just yet another baby. They understood this is not just, okay, a happy family who has a child. They understood why this news of the arrival of this baby was such great news. Why it was a news of great joy to all people. Why it was glad tidings. Because this was the fulfillment of the promise that they read about, that was written down hundreds of years earlier. And then what did the angels do next? They worshipped. 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels, the heavenly hosts, sang praises to God for what he had done. They sang glory to God in the highest. They knew that God deserves the highest praise. They knew that God deserves the highest honor. They knew that God deserves all the worship. And they practiced it. For what he had done, for sending Jesus on this earth, that's why God is to be praised, honored, and worshipped. So that was one direction of their praise. God deserves the glory. And what was the other direction of their praise? Not really praise for us, but praise to God for what? Peace and goodwill toward men. The arrival of Jesus is bringing us peace. Look in this world. Look at the news just over the last few months. Two major wars happening right now. And lots of wars, of course, all over the world, but two major ones that really affect the whole world right now. Viruses, pestilences, like COVID, that just happened and is still there and still kills people today. Pressures, financial pressures, pressures at work, they increase more and more. I went to school around 30 years ago. I can say school for me was so much easier than it is for my kids today, even though they're taking exactly the same path that I took 30 years ago. We are confronted with more and more uncertainties year by year. This world is going more and more crazy. This world is trying more and more to take away our peace. Without Jesus, we will be more and more worried and more anxious about everything that is happening in this world. And it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. Jesus predicted that. But in the midst of all of that, we can have peace. Why? Because Jesus came. Because Jesus was born. So we can have peace. And the other thing that is directed towards us, goodwill towards men. The word goodwill is again one that is difficult to translate. The original word means something like satisfaction, delight, kindness, purpose, desire, good pleasure, something that seems good, something that is good for us. And that is, again, what is available to us today. God's good will toward man, towards you, toward me. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus came. Because Jesus was born at Christmas. That's what the angels, that's what the heavenly hosts declared. glory to God, and we can receive peace and goodwill. Then how did the shepherds respond to all this? Verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What did all this do to them? The heavenly hosts, the angels, the praise, the good news. They simply wanted to meet Jesus themselves. They were not satisfied just hearing it from the angels. I mean, think about it. If an angel comes to me and gives me great news, I would be blown away by this, by an encounter like that. But these shepherds said, that's not enough. We need to see Jesus ourselves. We need to be in Jesus' presence ourselves. We need to see for ourselves that this is actually true. The encounter with the heavenly host, the encounter with the angels, gave them a strong desire to meet Jesus themselves, to be with him, to see him with their own eyes. They said, we need to meet this guy. We need to worship him ourselves. We need to see this marvelous miracle that the angels are singing about. Hearing about it is not enough. We need to see him ourselves. Now think about it. What was their job? Protecting the sheep? They just left that behind completely, at least for the night. We don't know what they did a week later or something, but at least for that one night they said, I don't care about the sheep. Something more important has happened here. We don't know. Maybe they said, okay, we all go, but you, one shepherd, you stay here, you poor little thing. We don't know. Or if they quickly hired someone else and said, we are going, and, well, they couldn't call someone back then, but maybe they found a way to just quickly hire someone. Maybe they did that, but the bottom line is they had something more important to do. And they said, the sheep are not as important. Our job is not as important as meeting Jesus ourselves. That was the one thing that was on their hearts, that was burning on their hearts. We need to see Jesus ourselves. And if it has consequences, like something happening to the sheep, we don't care. Jesus is more important. So they met him. They found everything as it was told them. They praised and worshipped. And then verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What happened to them? They became evangelists. They were completely transformed. And not just the encounter with the angels, but also their personal encounter with Jesus. And that changed their lives. And so they told everyone. They walked around, walked in the city, telling people, and they just had an urge to share that couldn't be stopped. And it was their ultimate priority. They said, we've seen the angels, we've seen Jesus ourselves, we have to tell others. We can't keep this to ourselves. Even that was more important to them than the sheep. They didn't say like, okay, but now half of us need to go back to the sheep and the other half shares, and then tomorrow we switch or something like that. They had such a strong urge to share, even if it cost them their livelihood, even if the sheep got attacked and eaten and they would lose everything. They said, we don't care. We need to tell people about Jesus. That's more important. And then in verse 20, we see how their lives changed. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So what was the result of their encounter? They worshiped God. They praised God. They gave glory to God. Why did God create us? For his glory. What did these shepherds do after they encountered Jesus? They gave glory to God. They fulfilled the very purpose for which God created them. In one night, in just a few hours, they experienced the whole gospel. In a few moments, they were told about Jesus. They were transformed. They found Jesus. They left everything behind. They were in his presence. They came to faith. Their lives were transformed. They gave glory to God. And they told other people about Jesus. The whole gospel, everything that the transformation that God wants to do in people's lives, it happened to them just in that one night. So if we put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherd, I think we can learn a lot about what God wants to do in our lives as well. The shepherds were human beings, just like you, just like me. There was nothing special about them. And what Jesus did in their lives, he wants to do in our lives as well. So what should Christmas remind us of? What should this story remind us of? How can we apply all this? Well, a few nuggets we can take. First one, Christmas should remind us to allow God to disrupt our routine. The shepherds were just doing their duty. The angels came, appeared to them, told them about what had happened. What did they still have? They still had a choice. They still had the possibility to say, okay, let's go. Or to say, no, 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 no. If we go, who knows what's going to happen to the sheep? We're going to stay and we're going to be faithful to our job and we're going to be faithful to our duty and we are not going to leave our sheep behind because who knows what's going to happen. They still had that choice. And imagine what could have happened or what might have happened. Maybe they thought about the angels for a while. Maybe they thought about, what happened here? But without seeing Jesus themselves, they might have brushed it off. They might have said, well, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe we were just dreaming. Or maybe these angels appear to us, but there is no baby. They still had a choice. And it was basically the choice, either we want to see Jesus ourselves, but then we have to allow God to disrupt our routine and disrupt our daily life. Or we rather stick to what we know. We rather stick to doing our daily business because that's more important to us. You and I have that same choice. And I think more often than we are aware of. How often is God whispering to us and saying to us, I want to disrupt your daily routine? Obviously, he doesn't say it that way. But maybe he wants us to do something that we don't expect. Maybe he wants us to do something that really disrupts our lives. And we are just so focused on, oh, I have my job. Oh, I have my children. I have this responsibility. I have that. And we don't give room for God to really disrupt our lives. And we don't follow his guidance, we don't follow his whisper, simply because we are so focused on what we know and so focused on our daily routine. I know it's true for me. I know sometimes I brush off these whispers from God, and I think, oh, that's not possible, or I don't have time for this, or something like that. And then afterwards I regret. And a few days or a few weeks later, I realized I completely missed out on what God wanted to do simply because I was so stuck in my routine. Christmas should remind us to allow God to disrupt our routine, just like he did with the shepherds. Next, Christmas should remind us to seek an encounter with God's glory. The shepherds had an encounter with God's glory that changed their lives. It was their encounter with the angels that set them on the journey to meet Jesus personally. Their lives were changed because they encountered and they had some form of revelation of the glory of God. Without that revelation, they would have just watched their sheep, and the next day they would have gone back to their daily lives and nothing would have changed. Maybe some of us need that kind of encounter as well. Maybe some of us feel that our faith is dry right now. Maybe some of us feel like it's a routine. Maybe we feel like nothing is happening in my faith right now. Maybe we feel like, okay, my faith is more of a duty right now. It's not really fulfilling. What do we need to get out of that kind of tiredness, that kind of dryness? We need an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God's glory. Christmas should be a reminder to us that God wants to encounter us. It's not like he's stingy. It's not like he says, no, I'm not going to reveal myself to you. He will. The question is, do we seek him? The question is, do we go after him? Do we ask God for a personal encounter? Do we press into God and say, God, I really need an encounter with you, and I'm going to put my energy, I'm going to put my time into it, because I really need you to revive me again. Christmas should be a reminder for us to seek an encounter with God's glory. Christmas should remind us of the great gifts we have in Jesus. Now, in this story, specifically mentioned are peace and goodwill towards men. But that's not all the gifts we have in him. We have the gift of forgiveness. We have the gift of eternal treasures. We have the gift of love. We have the gift of God's guidance. And of course, we have hope, the gift of hope and eternal life that Jesus is offering us. Christmas should be a reminder to you, to me, to all of us, of the great gifts we have in Jesus. Next, Christmas should remind us to leave certain things of this world behind. The shepherds left their sheep, only for one night, but still, they were saying, the sheep are less important than Jesus, and I'm going to leave them behind for now. For a while, their job didn't matter. For a while, they said, all I need is I need an encounter with Jesus, and I'm going to meet him, no matter the cost. Now, I'm not saying we should become totally irresponsible, quit job, and stop taking care of our kids and these kind of things. But what I am saying is, part of being a Christian includes giving up certain things of this world. Sometimes temporarily, like in their case, it was just for one night. Sometimes permanently. Christmas should be a reminder to us, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. It should be a reminder to us once again to say, I do not want to hold on to the things of this world. Maybe it goes a little bit along with the first point of allowing God to disrupt our lives. Maybe Christmas should be a reminder to us to say, hey, all I want is Jesus. And if there are things in this world that are holding me back from really seeking him, really going to him, really pressing into him, and surrendering my life fully to him, then Jesus, please help me to let go of these things that hold me back. Christmas should be a reminder to surrender everything to God and to seek God whether there are certain things in our lives that we are currently not surrendering. That goes along with last week's message on the topic of pruning. Last week I said, Sometimes we put time and energy and money, and we put our resources into things that don't bear fruit. Last week we said that Jesus wants to prune these things out of our lives. That's basically the same thing that the shepherds did here. Letting go of the things of this world in order that we can have a true encounter with Jesus and go after him wholeheartedly. Next, Christmas should remind us of God's good will towards us. He has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for everyone, personally. He doesn't just have a good will for everyone. He doesn't just have a good will for the church. He has a good will for you. He has a good will for me, for our individual lives. Christmas should be remind us again that Jesus wants what is truly best for us. Not what we think is best for us, not what we think makes us happy, not the things of this world, but what he wants for us are eternal treasures in heaven. What is truly good for us, what will last beyond this life. And Christmas should remind us again of God's wonderful plan for our lives. Next, Christmas should remind us to worship God. We are created for worship. And everybody does worship someone or something, whether we know it or not. Because we are made for worship, because we are created to worship someone or something bigger, everybody in this world will worship someone or something. Now we know the truth. We know that Jesus is God. But how many people still worship money? How many people who are in the church still worship their job? How many people in the church still worship other people? Or they worship famous musicians or sports stars or something like that? We are made to worship. And we know that we will worship someone or something. Christmas should remind us that all our worship, all our praise, all our trust should be in God and God alone and not the things of this world. Next, Christmas should remind us to tell others. The shepherds were completely changed when they encountered the angels and then Jesus. After this, they couldn't help. They just had to tell others. Not because they were told to, but simply out of the overflow of their hearts, they had only one desire. We need to share this good news with other people as well. It was a natural thing. They encountered God, they were transformed, and so as a result, they told others. Christmas should remind us again that God wants to do the same in us and through us as well. God wants to transform you. God wants to transform me. He wants to bless us in ways that we can't even imagine right now. And as we are being transformed, we will have joy, and that joy will overflow, and we will want to tell others as well. Not because the church says so, not because there's a biblical command, but simply because it's flowing out of our hearts. And Christmas should remind us once again that God wants to change our lives so that we naturally tell others. Not as a duty, but out of joy. Christmas should remind us to be transformed by Jesus. None of us lives fully for God yet. None of us lives perfectly like Jesus yet. What we need is transformation. A transformation that we can't do ourselves, a transformation that only God can do in us. Christmas should remind us again of the need of transformation. A reminder that we are not there yet. We are not perfect yet. A reminder that we need Jesus to change us. A reminder to go back to him and ask him to transform us. And then lastly, Christmas should remind us that God will keep all his promises. People back then have been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. Nothing happened. Many of them were getting impatient. Many of them had given up on God by now. We know that the word of God was rare. Many of them felt like God has left us and we are not God's people any longer because he's not speaking to us anymore and the Messiah is not coming either. There was a real drought in the nation of Israel, spiritually, that they felt like God had abandoned us. But what happened? In God's perfect time, Jesus came. He wasn't late, he wasn't early, he came at the perfect time. Maybe some of us need a reminder of God's faithfulness, of God keeping his promises as well. Maybe God has spoken some promises to us, and maybe we have been waiting for months, for years, for decades, and nothing is happening. Maybe we have given up on some of God's promises, and maybe we feel like it's not going to happen. I put so much effort, I put so much prayer, I was so patient, but I've been waiting for so long. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Christmas should remind us God keeps all his promises all the time. God has a different timing than ours, and sometimes we feel like God is late, and sometimes we feel like, okay, why didn't you do this 5 years ago? That is human. That is normal. But one thing is for sure. If God gave you a promise, he will keep it. And just because it didn't happen yet doesn't mean that he has given up. He will fulfill the promises he has given us. Christmas should be a reminder to all of us that God will keep all his promises in his perfect time. So let's wrap up for today. The shepherd's story on Christmas Day really already reminds us of so many truths from the Bible, from the gospel. What they went through in a few hours is really a life's transformation that he wants to do in all of us. The shepherds heard the good news. The shepherd saw God's promises and God's faithfulness. The shepherds were transformed in God's presence. Pretty much everything the Bible says about the gospel can be found in these few verses, can be found in the story of the shepherds. The whole gospel in just a few hours of their lives. The story of the shepherds should remind us what God wants to do in our lives as well, in your life, in my life. So we can read this story again, maybe tonight, or maybe we have a Christmas break, we have a bit slower time, have a bit more opportunity, a bit more time to read God's word. And I want to encourage all of us to really take some time in the next days or weeks and read this story again. And not as a story of, okay, this is what Jesus did or what God did in the shepherd's life, but look at it from a different perspective. And look at it from the perspective of, I am the shepherd. I am one of them. Let me read the story again, and let me find out again, how must the shepherds have felt? How have the shepherds been transformed? What has God given the shepherds in those few hours? And then, as we see how God worked in the shepherds, then to make it personal and to say, God, would you do the same in my life? Can you give me a passion like you gave the shepherds? Can you give me a desire? Can you reveal your glory to me? Can you just help me to be as excited about sharing the good news as the shepherds were excited? Whatever speaks to you personally. But allow God to speak to you about what he wants to do in your life, just like he transformed the lives of the shepherds as well. May we pray. God, thank you for the gospel. And thank you, Lord, for the work that you did in the shepherd's life just in a few hours. They were not the same anymore. They were getting ready for yet another boring night. And you just encountered them, and you just transformed them, and you just revealed yourself to them, and they were never the same again. Their lives were changed for good. Lord, we pray that you will do the same work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will transform us as well. Pray, Lord, that you will give us a passion like you gave passion to those shepherds that night. We pray, Lord, for an encounter with you that changed their lives. We pray, Lord, for a desire to meet you personally, just like they met you personally. We pray, Lord, that we will just worship you as they worshiped you. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to leave the things of this world behind just like they did. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in our lives. But we pray, Lord, that you will make this personal. This will not just be the shepherd's story anymore, but this will be our story. And we will be able to testify to each other in a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but we will be able to say, God did in my life just what he did in the shepherd's life 2,000 years ago. God, speak to us and give us the faith and the courage to really allow you to change us. Father, thank you. Work in us for the glory of your name. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and just listen to what God wants to say.